You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Thursday. By the way, I went outside because Chad is here from Traeger, and he decided that he was going to do some food that would be representative of Tampa and some food representative of Kansas City. I don't know what Tampa's known for, but I know that he has grouper that he is grilling, and he's got some ribs there, as Kansas City is known for maybe the best ribs in America. But Traeger's done it again. It's always great to see Chad and Julie, his partner, as they have created a feast here. They did yesterday, and then they're doing it today, and then tomorrow. Did you guys see the menu for tomorrow? I think there's like 10 or 11 items that they're going to cook on the Traegers. And we have five Traegers outside, and they're going to cook up a feast. A feast de resistance there with the Traeger grill. So my thanks to Traeger again, a great partner of ours. Sign up for the DP Show newsletter, available daily at 6 Eastern, every day, Monday through Friday, 3 Pacific. Sign up, go to danpatrick.com. Enter your email address in the box that slides out bottom right-hand corner, and we send you an email that sums up the day's show. McLovin, give me the poll question and results so far, and then we'll get to the popular Peter Schrager from the NFL Network.
You have to bet on one non-quarterback for Super Bowl MVP. Mm-hmm. Travis Kelce is running away with it. Then Tyreek Hill, then a defensive player, then lastly, Mike Evans.
This tweet from Ian Rappaport, the Eagles are getting trade calls centered around Carson Wentz, and while Philly doesn't plan to deal him, they haven't hung up the phones either. Let's bring in Peter Schrager for the NFL Network, Good Morning Football, and FoxSports.com senior national writer. Do you believe that?
I believe it's a combination of things here. They have a new coach. They got a new thing. And sometimes you see reports out there, and Ian's probably spot on. The way it's worded is always interesting. Does that come from other teams saying we're lighting up the phones for Carson Wentz? Or does that come from Philadelphia throwing some crumbs out there to the other team saying, hey, maybe you should be calling on this guy? It's always interesting this week when everyone is all eyes on these quarterbacks. When a team comes out of nowhere from left field and says, yeah, we're getting calls too. Are you?
You got the Kings of Leon as your backdrop there on this Zoom call.
Yeah, I mean, look, when you love a band as much as I love the Fallowell Brothers, and you guys are talking about the Kings of Leon like they're the Rolling Stones or the Beatles. Come on, guys.
So you had that up before you heard me talking about the Kings of Leon? Is that right?
Yeah. Every day, all day, I've got a Kings of Leon background.
Wait, you're not Kings of Leon fan?
I am. I like true story. I was at a Super Bowl one year in Dallas, and I saw Sam Bradford walk in with the Kings of Leon, and I saw about 500 women, the ages 21 to age 35, just like fall over them. And for a moment there, I was slightly jealous of all four of those guys.
Yeah, but what's Sam Bradford doing with the Kings of Leon?
Oklahoma connection. Oklahoma guys. Sam Bradford. I think, you know, Bradford, not the best NFL career, but he was pretty popular that night.
He got paid. That was when it was – I never understood this, Peter, that you have these rookie contracts where you got all this money up front and you weren't proven. And then they finally realized, boy, this really sounds stupid. We're paying all these guys – $35, $40 million signing bonus when they haven't proven. So we've added even more pressure on them when they come in to be great.
I think Bradford was actually the last one to get it, or he's amongst that crew. But those guys
Cam Newton, I think, might have been the last. He got like $35 million.
I remember Jake Locker got a big deal and walked away from the game. And you're like, how could Jake Locker walk away from the game? Is he not loving it? It was like, Jake Locker made $80 million on his rookie contract. Jake Locker's good.
How do the Texans handle this? Can they trade Deshaun Watson?
They can. Absolutely, they can. I've spoken to a lot of people around the league, and to a man, Dan, people are calling the Texans. I mean, teams that you're hearing rumored, they're calling the Texans. And Nick Caserio, the new front office chief and the GM, who signed a very handsome 6-year contract to make him one of the highest paid GMs in the league, is telling teams, like, we're not interested in talking. Like, straight up, like, robotic, we're not talking. So we could speculate all we want. There is a confidence in that building they can make this right. However, from the Watson side, and you hear this from the other teams too, there's a belief that he might take this all the way to training camp and say, I'm not putting that uniform on again until I get traded. Who's got the stomach for this? Is it Watson, where he's going to say, I'm so upset with the franchise that they didn't lean on me for any counsel or guidance or my recommendations on the coach and the GM? Or is it the team side that says, listen, new coach, new GM, let's at least talk this out before we go to those drastic measures? Because you know this, Deshaun Watson, those kind of players don't just show up every other year. That's a franchise player. And no matter who they have at quarterback, it probably won't be as good as that young man.
It was 5 months tomorrow when he signed this contract extension. He was thrilled. He wrote a letter. He thanked the owner. He thanked everybody. He changed my life. Everything's great. And then they had already traded DeAndre Hopkins. So what happened where Deshaun Watson went, I don't want to be here anymore?
Chronologically, I think you nail it where you say, wait, he already traded. Yeah, because everyone says they traded his best receiver. No. They had already traded his best receiver. That wasn't some shock. The things that I've heard, this is not about Nick Caserio. This isn't even about the trade of Hopkins. This is more about the owner. And Cal McNair and Deshaun Watson apparently had a conversation. And from everything I hear, this conversation was like, you are going to be a very important part of our next hires once Bill O'Brien was fired, whether it be the coach and the GM. Watson's voice might have been out there. He might have said something. He might have suggested names. Those names were not brought in for interviews. They hired Nick Caserio without asking Deshaun Watson's approval, which I think historically would never ask a player's approval on the GM. And then with the coaches, no Robert Saleh interview, a few other names weren't interviewed, and they didn't even get him in the door. And from another team, Dan, I thought this was interesting. In another year, you might say, okay, well, come on, Deshaun, like whatever. Do you know how easy it is to just interview the guys he recommended and do it on Zoom?
Yeah.
It's a two-hour Zoom. 2 hours, you check the box, even if you have no interest in what he says. If you told him you were going to listen to him and he said, hey, you got to interview Robert Saleh, and that's just an example of a name. 2 hours on Zoom with Robert Saleh might have been a waste of Saleh's time, but what's the expense? Just do it. They didn't do it.
First of all, they never should have given him that power, because all these marquee quarterbacks don't have that power, and you're going to give it to Deshaun Watson. He's got a no-trade clause. Like, the Texans created this, and then all of a sudden, it's like, wait a minute, what happened here? This house is on fire. Well, you helped start the fire there, and now Deshaun Watson wants to run out of a burning building.
And I mean, look, again, the verbiage. We're talking about Ian's report about Wentz. You go to with Watson's, it's he's requesting a trade. And the next day I came out and I got some slack from people, because I was like, is he requesting a trade or demanding a trade? Because Are you requesting a divorce? That doesn't have the same impact as I'm demanding a divorce. So what happens with Watson over the next few months will be interesting, because once free agency is over, once the draft is over, their options get really limited. Then it's, does this guy have the stomach? Because there's a new CBA, and in the new CBA, they can fine you all they want for missed practices. You don't get that money back. You can't get that money back. That's part of the new CBA. So he could be fined up to $2 million if he doesn't show up. And contractually, he's there not only for this huge extension, but for 3 years of the franchise tag too. Does he have the stomach to really ride this out?
Peter Schrager is host of NFL Network's Good Morning Football, which airs Monday through Friday. They start at 7 Eastern. And NFL Network providing more than 70 hours of live Super Bowl coverage, including 8.5-hour edition of NFL Game Day Morning. Good God. Super Bowl Sunday at 9 Eastern with our buddy Rich Eisen. There hasn't been a buzz about this, and I don't know how much of this is that the media is not there, Peter, but if we were there, because the storylines, if we look at them, don't really have to do with the Super Bowl as much as they do. Scotty Miller says he's the fastest player in the NFL. Whoa! We broke that story, by the way.
We played the clip. Yep.
You have Deshaun Watson drama, Carson Wentz situation, a coach gets hired, Eric Bieniemy does not, Brady, Belichick. So the game itself, even though it's about Brady and Patrick Mahomes, and if Brady wins one more, then Mahomes will never catch him. And if he has his second Super Bowl, he's going to catch him. Where is the buzz on this game for a game that should be great, but it doesn't feel like it's there?
It's so true you say that. And, you know, we're on the NFL Network 3 hours every morning, and I feel it. We're not there. So the buzz, usually you have the wall-to-wall coverage, and there's the scenics of Tampa, and everyone's walking around. It's not there. And that is because of the pandemic, 100% because of the pandemic. That doesn't feel like we're getting the same buzz, because this game is awesome. It has every storyline we could have ever wanted. I mean, we turned Tom Brady and Jared Goff into a Super Bowl bonanza. We could certainly turn Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. There's two amazing storylines here. It's Mahomes and the Chiefs going for back-to-back, which hasn't been done since 03-04. And then it's Brady. Brady is such an amazing story to do this in first year. But to your point, I wonder if it's more hypothetical right now with what will this mean legacy-wise? What does this do for the great debate at the bar 5 years from now? How do we look back on this Super Bowl as far as if it was a passing of the torch or if Brady stiff-arming Mahomes? But right now, like today on the show, I'll be candid with you, I was talking about the offensive line injuries from the Chiefs and how Remmers is in, and now you're doing with Andrew Wiley, right? And like, I'm getting bored of myself talking about offensive line play, and I can sense it. And I think it's just going to have to be one of those deals where we're not there on the ground, but come Sunday and you see JPP and Shaq Barrett blowing up Patrick Mahomes, and you're saying, wow, we got a game here. And Brady's got the ball in the fourth quarter. We got a game here. The hype might not be there, but this game is going to deliver.
Would you rather have Brady's career or what Mahomes' career could possibly be?
That's why you're the best. That's a great question. Like, you're taking the unknown, which is on this incredible torrid pace, or what we do know, and it's still kind of going. I would take Brady because of the accomplishments over the great, great time span. I don't know what happens to Mahomes 10 years down the road, but I'd be hard-pressed to think he's going to do 7 Super Bowls and 14 AFC or NFC championship games in 20 years.
I'm going to remind you of this question in like 10 years from now.
I know. Let's just hope the two of us are doing the same exact thing in 10 years.
The Rams-Lions trade. We had Aaron Donald on, and in fact, we're going to play that interview coming up a little bit, but he said he was shocked that should he have been shocked that the Rams sent Jared Goff to the Lions and they got Matthew Stafford?
I've got to be careful here because I've got relationships on both sides. I'll just say it now. We're 5 days removed. McVay was over Goff. It was done.
But like when did that happen, Peter? Was it after the Niners game?
No, it happened this year. It wasn't necessarily all Jared's doing. Like this, I think the defense being the leader in this thing, McVay not being able to do the same things that LaFleur was able to do with Rodgers and what he's watching other teams do. And nothing against Jared. Personally, Jared Goff went 21-26, threw a touchdown pass in Lambeau Field with 9 fingers. I thought that was pretty good and pretty tough. But once they got to this point, it was either, do we try to rebuild this thing or do we just move on for both of us? And McVay wanted to move on. And once Stafford came into his life, and when I say came into his life, it meant the thought of Stafford and the wonder of what he can do with his arm strength and how smart and how cerebral, it was over. And McVay made the call. And it's a business. And I think Sean is going to be respectful to Jared, and he'll also be unapologetic that he believes that this team had run its course with Jared Goff and he wanted Matt Stafford. Goff can make him look foolish. If Goff goes on to have this incredible career in Detroit or even anywhere else he ends up, he can make McVay look wrong. But as someone from the Rams side told me, are we living or are we existing? They want to live.
Is Stafford that much of an upgrade over Goff?
Not my decision. They think so.
No, but I'm curious if you think so.
I don't think he's a huge upgrade, but I think for what they've been through over the last few years with for Sean and Jared to come to this point, of course it's an upgrade. But as far as objectively, who do I want as my quarterback? A 25-year-old guy who's been to a Super Bowl or a 33-year-old guy coming off injuries who's never won a playoff game? You can make the argument for the former.
Yeah, I think Detroit did well in this deal, Pete. I really do. Stafford wanted to get a soft landing. They wanted to trade him. Okay, how many places can we send you to? Felt like it was going to be the Niners or it was going to be the Rams. And I thought that you got a guy who can potentially be a franchise quarterback already under contract, and you got some draft picks here. So I thought Detroit did okay.
They did all right. Here's the rub on it. Carolina offered a really good package, including a top 10 pick. And from what I'm hearing, they threw Teddy Bridgewater's name in there, a future first-round pick. And people around the league are like, how do you not take Carolina's offer? Because then if you take Carolina's offer, you get the 7th overall pick, which is the Lions pick, the 8th overall pick, which is the Panthers pick. You get Teddy Bridgewater to be your bridge quarterback. And the Lions folks would tell you, we like Jared Goff. Believe it or not, guys. Hello, like Jared Goff was a piece of this trade. And to take on Jared Goff and then also get 2 first-round picks, that's a bonanza if you actually believe in Jared Goff, which they say they do.
I'll end with this. The haircut story with the Chiefs felt like it was, if I'm going to have an Onion headline and, you know, close shave, Chiefs, you know, get caught with a barber with COVID. Imagine if Patrick Mahomes is in the chair. Because I'm surprised he wasn't at the front of the line. Hey, Patrick, you go in. You got other meetings here. If Patrick Mahomes is in the chair, he's not practicing this week.
It's incredible. And it's like Daniel Kilgore is a backup center slash guard. So everyone makes a joke and it's like, ah, Kilgore. If Mahomes gets in that chair, he's out every day of practice with an offensive line he's not exactly familiar with. And it's a huge storyline, but it is 2020 summed up. And Adam Schefter sending 4 tweets out about a barber on the day. I mean, it just tells you where we're at these days. And I love Schefty, and it just shows you. And the guy only delivers just news and pearls. And that's what we were tweeting about this week. That's 2021 in a nutshell.
And your pick is?
Chiefs.
All right. I mean, was that a confident Chiefs or just?
No. On paper, with the barber story, with the offensive line, with the game being played in Tampa, with Brady on the other sideline, with that defensive line, it's very easy to want to take the Bucs, but I can't pick against Mahomes.
I can't pick against Brady. Like, I'd never bet against him. I would, until I see it.
We've seen it. He lost 3 Super Bowls.
Yeah, but, you know, I can't blame him against Philadelphia.
No,
he threw for 500 yards and they didn't even punt. Yeah. Like, you know, that's on Belichick. But, you know, the game against the Giants in both of those games, you know, the defensive line just pounded him. And if the Chiefs are able to do that, then the Chiefs are going to win this game. But
on the same token, though, it's like Mahomes, so many games this year were close. And then on 3rd and 6, we'll hit Tyreek for 7 yards and put the game away. In all of my years covering the sport, this guy Mahomes finds a way in every single game to get the W at the end. I can't pick against him here.
Yeah, but it's weird how they get bored or they need degree of difficulty, Peter. Like,
yeah, they've won 25 of 26 games with him. However it happens, it happens.
Yeah.
Chiefs.
Hey, great to talk to you. And thanks again.
Kings of Leon.
Yeah. Thank you, buddy. That's Peter Schrager. He's a popular member of that Good Morning Football team. He says he's basically the host. But there's 4 talent on there. 7 Eastern is when they start. And then they wanted to get off the air at 9 Eastern so they could watch this show. But they have to go contractually till 10 o'clock. They fought it because Peter said, hey, I got to get through at 9 so I can watch the Dan Patrick show. Yes, Paul.
I've seen the final hour. Peter may be watching our show during his show. Just a little bit.
Yes, McLovin.
He loved your poll question. Do you feel better now? Like, he said that was a brilliant question.
I thought it was a good poll question.
We got a ton of votes on it. I don't know why you think people didn't like it.
You guys didn't like it.
We liked it.
I had Peter Schrager who had to co-sign on that. By the way, top-ranked field heads to the Valley of the Sun. We got golf later on today. Waste Management Phoenix Open Thursday through Sunday on Golf and NBC. I don't know what that atmosphere is going to be like there. Can they have any fans in the stands at the Waste Management Phoenix Open? Because usually, I mean, that's what it's known for. Yeah, Paul.
That place is insane. You've been there.
Yeah.
I've been there a couple times when I lived out there. It is like a tailgate with a golf event going on during it.
Yeah.
A monster tailgate.
It's like you have a tailgate and then a golf tournament broke out. And then you go, oh, while we're here, why don't we watch some golf here? We'll take a break. I got some phone calls to get. We're backed up a little bit. And we'll also bring back the interview. We did the interview with Aaron Donald yesterday afternoon, full disclosure. And we only had a couple of clips that we sent out. So if you heard those, that was from our interview with him yesterday where we had him. It was the first interview he did where he talked about the trade that they got Matthew Stafford and sent Goff to Detroit. We'll have that for you coming up. And if you're watching on Peacock, you're going to see an unbelievable spread. I'm looking at the Traegerhood, Traegerville, all these grills out there. All that food is going to be ready here, and you can live vicariously through us here coming up a little bit. 20 after the hour, take a break. Aaron Donald and your phone calls next here on the Dan Patrick Show. What could you do with $50,000? Well, you can find out because Rocket Mortgage is hosting the largest official game of Super Bowl squares ever. Millions of dollars in prizes. $50,000 every time the score changes. Plus, 2 lucky players win $500,000 they could use towards their dream home. So it's a touchdown, it's a field goal, extra points, a safety. Every scoring play pays. Rocket Mortgage, announcing winners live on their channels during the game. Follow along February 7th and see if you're a winner. Yes, Todd?
I just don't know how they're giving up. So it's $50,000 every time they score?
Every time.
The score constantly changes in
yes,
a football
game. Yes, it is.
Yep. And 50,000 each time.
Yep, free to enter. Easy to play. See rules. Enter now. RocketMortgageSquares.com. RocketMortgageSquares.com. No purchase necessary. Legal residents of the 50 U.S. states and D.C., who are the age of majority, ends tonight at 11:59 p.m. Eastern. Equal housing lender. Licensed. All 50 states. NMLS number 3030, RocketMortgageSquares.com. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at FoxSportsRadio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Where other vans stop short, Mercedes-Benz vans go far beyond their customization options, cutting-edge tech, five-star sales service, and financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz vans, built, equipped, engineered to be ready for anything. So go that extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. Have Aaron Donald for you coming up. Heidi in Wisconsin joins us. Good morning, Heidi. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Dan. I'm calling because... back in 2011, we lived in Dallas-Fort Worth area, and all the schools were shut down that week because of that snowstorm. So my husband took my 7-year-old son to see your show, and they were amazed to get in and get there because there was basically nobody at the show that week. So,
well, they weren't there because of the weather, the conditions, though, Heidi. It was you made it sound like nobody wanted to go see us, so they didn't know who we were, Heidi. That's kind of mean-spirited.
Didn't mean that at all, Dan. We've long time fans,
but
didn't expect a 7-year-old to get the front row at the show to watch what you guys were doing.
Well, thank you, Heidi. So, it's all about the kids, and thank you for the phone call. She made it seem like, well, nobody was there. We got to sit in the front row. Yeah, Paul.
That's a slight on our fans and the Dallas fans because they came out in the brutal weather and stood out there.
I know. Dan in Los Angeles. Hi, Dan. What's on your mind today?
Hey, good morning, Danny.
Good morning, Dan.
Back row, front row.
Yeah.
Wanted to apologize that I don't have Kings of Leon in the background to go along with Schreiger's theme, but sorry about that. So my question is to everyone here, but I can guess on most of them, because me and Fritzy are both Elway Broncos fans. What is your most emotional Super Bowl that you ever watched and saw a victory from? Obviously, me and Fritzy's is probably the Elway first one with the helicopter and just all the emotion. I'm guessing McLovin's is the Eagles a few years back. Paulie's is probably the 85 Bears. You know, Seton's probably, the first Pats win. Didn't know what your first, what you would say is your most emotional Super Bowl, if you even have one. Do you have one?
I would say, and thanks for the phone call, Dan, I would say Whitney Houston singing the anthem in Tampa. And that was, 30 years ago. I just think where we were as a country, and when you had those jets flying over, that was as emotional, I think, as I've ever gotten at a sporting event. And she just nailed it. She was spectacular. And I think it was, it's weird how you feel, with 9/11 and things that are taken away from you, and then you get things back that you sort of take for granted, and then it kind of hits you. It's like, wow, it was just so powerful. And her voice just resonated. It was just, and then, the planes go over and then you're like, we're America. Like we are America. We're badasses. You had that in the World Series at Yankee Stadium when President Bush went out there. And when Mike Piazza hit the home run, it was just, those are moments. But if you're talking about a Super Bowl, I didn't have one. I was a Bengals fan growing up, and they lost two Super Bowls to Joe Montana. But I don't know if I ever had this. Boy, I'm really emotional with the outcome of this Super Bowl because I don't think I ever got that way. Yeah, Paul.
As a Bears fan, the 85 Super Bowl over the Patriots, I found kind of a boring game. It was never in question. It wasn't that threatening. And Bears fans wanted to play Miami to get retribution against Dan Marino. But the game before that, where the Bears at home beat the Rams, I think it was Eric Dickerson, that was the one that was like, I can't, that you remember more so, I think.
Aaron Donald, we talked to him yesterday around 3 o'clock Eastern time. We stayed to be able to do the interview, and we were the first one to interview him. And we sent out some of the clips that you'll hear, or you might have already heard yesterday, and that had to do with the Goff Stafford trade. And so we'll play the entire interview for you. And I start out by asking Aaron Donald if he wants to get the Goff and Stafford question out of the way, or if he wants to wait till the end of the interview.
We can wait till the end.
Are you already tired of talking about it?
I haven't talked to this. This is the first time I'm even going to speak out about anything. So I ain't really speak about it, just with the family and little conversations I had to the side. But that's about it.
Okay, why don't we knock it out first, and then you can say to people, hey, I've already talked about it to Dan Patrick. I don't need to talk to anybody else about it, okay? Your reaction when you heard that Jared was going to Detroit and Matthew Stafford was coming to L.A.?
I'm pretty sure everybody was shocked with it, but you know, Stafford's a great quarterback. I'm excited about having him with the team. A veteran guy that know the game, have been playing the game at a high level for a long time. You know, it was a business decision that the Rams organization chose to make. You know, I will always love Goff. You know, that's my brother forever. But you know, I guess things didn't work out how they wanted to, so they made a change. So,
have you sacked Stafford?
Yeah, 6 times in my career.
Somehow you had that stat ready there, Aaron.
Yeah, I already told him. I said, I played him 2 times, and I sacked him 3. Each time I played him, I sacked him 3 times each game. So, you know.
But here's the problem, Aaron. You want him to stay in Detroit so you can sack him more. Now he's going to be your teammate.
Yeah, no, it's fine. He's going to help us win some games, so I'm pumped up about that.
Give me the most unfair criticism of Jared Goff.
I think there's a lot of things that were said, you know, but, you know, once you're the starting quarterback, you know, if things ain't going how it's supposed to go, it's always going to be, you know, you're going to be talked about a lot, you know. I would never say nothing bad about Goff. Like I said, that's my brother, you know, always going to keep in contact with him, always going to talk. I wish nothing but the best for him in Detroit. So, you know, we ain't going to worry about, you know, the negativity that's talking about, you know, he got a bright future ahead of him, a fresh start, and hopefully he do great things there, so.
How much do you play, or the style of play deals with the chip that might be still on your shoulder? You know, Tom Brady still talks about being drafted in the 6th round. Drew Brees, you know, that he was too short to make the NFL. Like, guys carry that, but can you carry it into a game? Do you have a chip on your shoulder when you play?
I've been asked that question a lot, you know, in my, you know, career playing football, just because, you know, I had a lot of negative talk about just my size and things, and teams not knowing if I was going to hold up and be able to play at a high level in this league. So to me, it kind of motivated me, because I felt like I didn't do enough to put it on film to show the world that I can play this game at a high level, don't matter the size I am. So, you know, did it get me mad? No. Did it motivate me? You could say yes about that. You know, it just made me work harder, because I felt like, you know, maybe I ain't showing enough yet. Maybe, you know, I need to do that much more to show the world what I'm about, what I can do. And, you know, that's what I do. You know, that's why I work the way I work. That's why, you know, I put the body at work in how I do every single offseason, prepare myself to, you know, be successful and help my team to win games. So I'm going to continue to do that as long as I play this game. So.
Do you know the name of the offensive lineman that you face every game?
Not every game. I know their numbers. I don't really care for their names. I just know the guy's jersey number I'm going to get. But that's it.
Are you friendly with any offensive linemen?
Not at all. None.
None. You know,
that's the guys that are trying to stop me from doing my job. So I can't be friends with no guys that are trying to prevent me from, you know, doing what I got to do to provide for my family. So. On the field, it's really no friendships. It's just, you know, they the enemy.
Well, what about post-game hug, when you could do hugs?
Oh, ain't no hug, probably a high five or something. But I really, I know a couple offensive linemen personally, but I really don't have too many relationships with offensive linemen. So,
what about quarterbacks? You okay with quarterbacks?
No, but. You know, anybody I got to go against, or, you know, that's trying to, you know, prevent me from doing what I need to do, you know, so I ain't too friendly with them. But during the game, you know, it ain't me, but, you know, after the game, might, you know, shake a hand or say what's up. That's about it.
Anybody talk trash to you?
Yeah, there's some players talk trash this year, try to say some things here and there, but, you know, it's a part of the game.
Well, give me an idea. You don't have to give me a name, but give me an idea. What do they say to Aaron Donald? What could you say to Aaron Donald?
It's a lot of trash talking in football. A lot of things that can't be spoke out loud, you know. But you know, can't say exactly what it was. But this thing said, and things will be said back, and then you know, actions will be handled from there on the football field. So we handled the right way.
When's the last time you were in a fight off the field?
I ain't been in a fight since I was a kid, man. I'm too old to get in fights. Now you fight now, you go to jail. So I keep myself out of trouble.
What was your career record as a kid in fighting?
I'm undefeated. I never lose any fights. And if they was too old and too big for me, I got my big brother to handle it for me. So I ain't never lost no fight. I lost a fight to my big brother, but that don't count. So
why did the Packers loss affect you so much?
Honestly, it was just I felt down just because I wasn't able to play how I needed to play. You know, I had an injury that kind of, you know, prevented me from being who I am. I wasn't able to do much, you know, playing through pain and things like that. No excuses, but, you know, it was just tough. I felt like I let my team down. When they needed me the most, I couldn't be there for them, you know. So it was just that's what hurt me the most, you know, because I felt like, you know, you work your butt off to play at this position and do a lot to, you know, to have opportunity to, you know, play in big games like that. And I get to that point and I got to try to fight through an injury and not be able to help my guys how they needed me that day. You know, I was just down about that. So,
well, it's tough enough to be chasing Aaron Rodgers when you're healthy.
Yeah, it's fine, man. That's why he had a great year. A lot of respect for him, but you know, it is what it is.
I'm bumming you out here. I have to cheer you up, right?
No, we fine.
Okay, all right. I know, but
we're ready. You know, new sports drink out, so we pumped up about that.
If I drink it, will I play like you?
It give you wings. How about that? But no, it's a great. You know, it's something that I became a partner with. A drink that I. This new sports drink is what we just dropped. You know, it's amazing. It tastes good. I feel like that's what it start with. But not just tasting good, what you consume is good for your body and what you taking in good. You know, you got the super fruit blend, you know, that help with recovery, you know, fight inflammation, things that you need to make sure that your body is fine as far as recovering quicker, you know, as going into my eighth year. A lot of things that I learned about, you know, recovering things like that is what you consume, what you put into your body. And a lot of that go into what you're drinking, when you're working out, when you're training, when you're practicing and ready is that thing for me, you know. So not just being able to, you know, be a part of it, but be part owner of it, it's huge. So I've been loving the opportunity and we just dropped this great sports drink and we pumped up about it.
Well, Greek Freak's involved in this too, right?
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How do you think he'd do in the NFL?
I think he'd do good. He's a big guy, athletic guy. I think he has some success.
I don't know. Like, I could see LeBron as a tight end.
Okay.
Do you think LeBron could do okay?
He got the size and the athletic ability. You know, I think if he practiced it just like he practiced football, I mean basketball, yeah, I think he can translate that to the NFL.
Now, how would you do in basketball?
If I practice it good enough, I think I'll be good. If I took it as serious as I took football, you know, I think you could.
I don't know. Same. There aren't too many 6 foot, 300-pound point guards here, Aaron.
Obviously, my body will have to change and things like that.
Yeah, a whole lot.
That's obvious. But, you know, if anything you work hard enough for, you can, you know, accomplish some crazy things if you put the body work in. So.
Well, wait a minute. Who plays basketball the way you did in high school?
I don't know.
And don't say Allen Iverson or somebody like that.
No, I'm a big body guy. I'm more dominant. So I would say like a guy like Shaq, you know, a great like Shaq. Oh. like to bully people a lot and do a lot of things like that. So,
But you know, guys in the NFL will say Shaq would get destroyed in the NFL because it's all about getting low. It's about getting leverage. He's too tall. Do you think Shaq would?
Again, if you think about, you know, if he, the way he took basketball, if he was took football the same way, you know, that was switching. It would translate different. So
I don't know. He's too big. No leverage there, Aaron. That's why you're so great. You got leverage, man. Every play, you got leverage. Hey,
leverage is everything.
good luck. I got to get back to benching, and good luck with Reddy, and congratulations on the success so far.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
That's Aaron Donald of my LA Rams. It was fun. Touched on a lot of different things there. When we come back, I'm going to give you an update on a team that made an offer for Matthew Stafford that might surprise you. And it's probably an offer that you have not heard. Have that for you coming up. And we'll get to your phone calls as well. If you're watching on Peacock, if you want to see a pregame spread, we've got it for you. Fresh off the Traeger grills. They've done it again. Chad and company have done a wonderful job with the food, the menu. And they're back again tomorrow as well. Take a break. Last call for phone calls after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. A little Gaslight Anthem. I love the sound of this album. All right, final results of the poll question. McLovin, do you have final results?
Non-QB, who's going to win the Super Bowl MVP? Runaway, Travis Kelce of the Chiefs.
Okay. Yeah, I just think the quarterbacks are going to get far more credit in this matchup because they've made it about these two quarterbacks. If Kelce has three touchdown passes or reception, it'll be Patrick Mahomes had three touchdown passes. All right. I just learned this from a source. The Denver Broncos made a pretty good run at Matthew Stafford. And here is the deal that they offered the Detroit Lions. They offered their first-round pick, which is a top-10 pick. Is that nine, Paulie?
Nine.
Okay, ninth overall, Drew Locke for Matthew Stafford. But Drew Locke is not as good as Jared Goff. And although you're getting the ninth pick overall, if I'm Detroit, I still like what they did. But Denver did try. Denver tried to trade their ninth pick overall, Drew Locke, to the Detroit Lions. All right, get a couple of phone calls in here. Jeff in Detroit. Hi, Jeff.
What up, though? One time for Chat Row. Just letting you in on a little bit of information, Dan. Stafford's wife wanted to go to a warm climate place because of her illness. So her recently recovering from, you know, her sickness, she wanted to go somewhere warm. So I'm sure he ended up somewhere warm. Listen, you talking this much about the Detroit Lions, it's like you saying Chrissy's mock headlines were great. It rarely happens, but when it does, it's pretty dope. I got one question for you.
Right.
You did a commercial where you were on a jet and you were eating a steak. Snacks wants to know, did you finish that steak? Because it looks so good.
I don't even remember if I did. But didn't we shoot that? Wasn't that a Super Bowl promo that we did? We got on a private plane?
Yeah, we had, I think the five of us were in like a little Cessna, a single engine, and you were in a nice luxury jet.
No, I was in a King Air or something like that. I don't even know. Mike in Syracuse. Hey, Mike, what's on your mind today?
Hey, thanks, Dan. Got a stat of the day for you.
Okay.
Do you want to hit the music or no?
Yeah! Got a little bossy there, Mike.
Thank you. I appreciate that. All right, ready? Tom Brady, in his previous nine Super Bowls with the Patriots, had scored a whopping 3 total points in the first quarter.
Let it breathe. Start of the day! Start of the day! Thank you, Mike. That's a good stat. Something to consider as we go into this Super Bowl. Tom Brady, slow starter, question mark. This day in sports history, Paulie, what do you have?
1969, John Madden was named the head coach of the Oakland Raiders. 1993, the Boston Celtics retired Larry Bird's number 33. Let's see. Oh, here's a good one. The musician Jimmy Buffett was booted out of an NBA game. The NBA referee Joe Forte told him to give up his courtside seat due to the use of profanity. Jimmy Buffett got the boot at a Knicks game. Heat versus Knicks. And that's it.
Wait, was he in Miami for that game?
Let's see.
Because I think he used to go to the Miami Heat game.
That's correct. It was Knicks at Heat 2001, and Jimmy Buffett got kicked to the curb.
Oh, okay. Scott in Kansas City. Hi, Scott. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mr. Patrick, thanks for taking my call. First time, long time. 5'11", 230.
All
right. I just wanted to say that they should have had Metallica play the Super Bowl when the Super Bowl's in San Francisco. Might have been a little too heavy for the halftime show, but that would have been a good choice. And also, the band you need to listen to right now is Greta Van Fleet.
Yeah, I'm aware of them. I'm aware of that band. But thank you, Scott. Yeah, Paul.
Another one of the great things we got to do at the Super Bowl, at that San Francisco Super Bowl, had a little party at the, ballpark, not Candlestick. What's the ballpark out there? Pac Bell. And Metallica was doing a sound check. And we got to sit there with our food and drink and watch Metallica do a sound check. I don't know if they played a party or something the next night.
I think they might have.
Yeah, something.
But I remember that vaguely. But that was like the Super Bowls are all blur, it feels like. Matt in North Carolina. Hi, Matt.
How are you, sir?
Good.
Good. I just wanted to call. My uncle passed away this morning, and the significance of it is that he played on the 66 Texas Western National Championship team. And he was one of the players that did not get to play. But I just thought that DP Nation should know.
What was his name, Matt?
Jerry Armstrong. You can have Polly check him out.
All right.
He played a significant role throughout the season. And I actually, Coach Haskins apologized to him for not playing him when they were starting making the movie. And my Uncle Jerry said, well, if you'd have played me, then we wouldn't be in a position we are now.
Well, thank you, Matt. I'm sorry for your loss. Yeah. Texas Western, the first all-black starting five, and beat Kentucky with eight off rup. Pat Riley was on that Kentucky team. And the Bear Haskins, Don Haskins, head coach. Let's go around the room. What we learned on the program is starting back left with Fritzy.
Joe Montana once told Jim Kelly that his Bills should just let Joe's Chiefs go to the Super Bowl to avoid losing again.
McLovin, what did you learn today?
Troy Aikman said Eagles fans have lost their edge since they won the Super Bowl.
And Seton O'Connor?
Aaron Donald, pretty thoughtful, sensitive guy.
Yeah, I thought he came off really well. He had some fun answers. He had a sense of humor there. The fact that there's no nonsense, man. He doesn't like anybody on the offensive side of the ball at all. Paulie, what did you learn on today's program?
Troy Aikman said he's exactly half the quarterback that Tom Brady is.
That's the line of the show, because Tom's got six right now. Troy's got three. Three ain't bad. Fritzy, what did I learn today?
Troy Aikman has to be on Dancing with the Stars twice. Since he can't dance and doesn't like it, he turned down both invitations.
Guys, the supplement I take every day is M-Drive. Powerful ingredients backed by science. Help me get energized, stronger, leaner. Maybe sexier. Go to mdrivedan.com today. Free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Refind your prime with M-Drive. Great Terry Bradshaw will join us on the program. Thanks for the phone calls, emails, tweets, and the all-around support. We'll talk to you on Friday. One more item as we close out this award-nominated program. Any credit card can offer cash back, but only Discover matches all the cash back you earned at the end of your first year. It's like getting those birthday cards that are shaped like cash. You already know there's cash inside before you open it up. But in this case, there is money in there. It's your first year cash back match. You don't even have to send a thank you note. Cash back match is what it's called, only by Discover card. You can learn more at discover.com/match. Discover something brighter.